listening to Carmen and Yurko
on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Talk is brought to you by Hawthorne Racecourse. Fall Thoroughbred Racing is back at Hawthorne Racecourse beginning Friday, October 8th. It's started. It's rolling along now. And they've got a newly remodeled rooftop deck for both sports betting and horse racing. Get in on all the action. Hawthorne and Points Bet and Club Hawthorne.
Carmen Yurko. Bop, 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 bop.
What's up, fellas?
Morning.
We're excited. It's Football Friday. Time to talk football.
On a football Friday.
It's
very well done.
I'd like to sprinkle in some Bulls and Blackhawks if I could, too.
Is that okay?
Yeah. We'll see.
Blackhawks for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for everybody that said, boy, the Blackhawks, look at everything they did. What did they actually do?
Yeah.
So, you know, before the season, I said, there ain't nothing changed here. Guys, you're still a point of game team, which keeps you out of the playoffs. That's just the way it is.
Point of game? I'd kill for a point.
I understand. But that's what you are. I mean, that's what you are. And eventually, over the course of time, they'll end up with 82 points this year. That's all they are.
No way.
Flower, doesn't matter. Seth Jones, doesn't matter. You didn't do anything this offseason.
Listen, boys, I want to have a team meeting. Listen, let's get in here. All right. You like my socks? You like my shoes?
Hey. Scuff them up a little, Jeremy.
Oh no, you like my hair, my tie clip? Hey, we're gonna get 2 points.
Well, he's part of the problem.
He's a well put together dude, but I don't know what's going on.
He's part of the problem.
He's a handsome man.
He is a handsome man.
The guy that's the member of the Lucky Sperm Club up there, Bowman.
Yeah,
that's the problem. I mean, that's your problem.
That's an issue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
By the way, did you see?
Just an aside. So who's not necessarily in the front office, but scouting the Blackhawks? Is Mark Crawford part of the organization?
Yes. That will be your interim coach.
That would be your next head coach. Yeah. That is Savard to Quinville right there, pal.
Yeah, I don't think they feel as good about it from Savard to Quinville, but...
I think he will be your interim coach. He won't be hired long-term.
We'll see. You know how that is, right? Savard is like, hey, commit to the Indian, who he said, right? Remember that quote?
Hoodie and I were doing the show up in the Wrigleyville that night.
That was the greatest quote of all time.
I think we got to play this guy. Savard just went nuts. That's when the Hawks stunk, too.
Yeah. You don't like playing here? Yeah. You don't think we take good care of you? Either you commit to the Indian, we'll go upstairs to Mr. Wirtz, and we'll get you out of here.
Hoodie and I were on remote on like a Friday night in Wrigleyville. Yeah, and the commit to the Indian thing happened, and they're like, oh boy. Savvy's going to flip his lid.
Oh, my God. And then so. And Quinville is there scouting,
yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
Just honestly, just kind of quietly, just got all of a sudden, hey, you're the next head coach.
Yeah.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
That hurt my heart for them to fire my favorite.
But it worked out.
Yeah, I know.
I love Savvy, but that all worked out.
And Savvy handled it with class.
Totally did. He's a classy guy.
Did you see the picture the Bears have tweeted out? Gonna need a bigger boat, like with the Jaws thing, and it's a huge bear coming up to eat the Buccaneers.
It's funny. Listen, I'll give them credit. Somebody up there has got to do social media. That's funny. I like it, but I don't know that.
You might. You should have had like a Super Bowl trophy on the front of that boat.
Take it easy. Tom, he's coming for you.
Just leave him alone.
There's a way. I'm going to map out a way that the Bears can find a way to get it done. Not going to be easy. It's going to take Tampa being somewhat forgetful. You know what?
Like last year when you forgot the downs,
it's being somewhat forgetful. Maybe not bringing their. You know, they've watched the film all week and they're probably laughing and having a good time. Maybe heading to Mons Venus for a couple of lappies before the game.
Lappies.
We could always hope. But you've got to attack them differently. You've got to play the angle game on these guys. You also got to be willing to go low on those defensive linemen and continue to go low. So defensive lineman hates it when you're operating at his knees.
Mm-hmm.
He hates it because it's effective.
I think everybody hates
effective.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Slow them down, it's effective. Right? Yeah. You got to play at the knees sometimes.
Yeah.
And then you make them hesitant. Once they become hesitant, then you've got a little bit of an advantage. Still very skilled. Very talented.
Mm-hmm.
Vea and Sue, not easy to push around.
And last year, Vita Vea broke his leg against the Bears.
Well, remember, last year they came here on a short week with like no healthy players on offense, remember?
Yep.
Everybody was hurt offensively.
Yep.
Did Vita Vea get hurt in that
broke
game?
Broke his leg.
That's right. Wow, I forgot about that even. So they were a much different, depleted team. They were still kind of figuring things out, too. Remember, Even at Thanksgiving, Tampa was like, man, what's going on with Tampa? Then they ripped off eight straight and won the Super Bowl. So
yeah.
Okay, this is a different team a year later.
Got a basketball question. Hoodie and I were dissecting the new top 75 of all time.
Yeah.
And like Vince Carter didn't make it. Dwight Howard didn't make it. Like, there's some guys that are notable omissions. If I gave you one pick, the draft, there's two guys, you get the first pick. You taking Scottie Pippen or Dwayne Wade?
I'm trying to understand what draft. Just any draft?
Yeah, I'm going to give you a chance. You can pick one of the two guys.
Scotty or D. Wade?
They're both in the same draft coming out, knowing what you knew about them in college or knowing what you know about them now?
Now.
Knowing what I know now, that's hard.
Because it was college, that wouldn't work, because only President Clinton knew about Pippen.
Yeah,
that's correct. Right. And Marty Blake.
He's only in what? No, I mean, in the documentary. In the documentary, it was only Clinton. He was there.
I was like, you know what? I'm not going to f*** my summer up.
Back to more Bulls basketball on Channel 9. Wayne Larrabee.
That's a good question. I mean, Dwayne Wade's probably like...
top five two guards of all time.
I was going to say probably the third best two guard of all time.
I mean, Michael?
Michael, yeah. Kobe.
But Pippen was a two-way player, though.
So was Dwayne Wade.
Dwayne Wade was a beast.
I'd probably say... God, that's hard.
I'd say Pippen for me.
I'd probably say Pippen, but...
I'd take Wade.
Dwayne Wade also, when they won the finals in, what was that, 06?
Yeah.
Dwayne Wade put on one of the greatest finals performances of the last 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what he did to Dallas in that, especially those last couple of games, was next level, man. Yeah. I think I'd go Pip, but that's hard.
A tough question.
I don't know. That's a tough question. Yeah. Ooh, I could talk myself into Dwayne Wade real quick.
Real quick.
Real quick.
Because I was you know what? I'm not going to f*** my summer up.
Of course not, Scotty. Why would you? But Scotty might be the greatest perimeter defender in the history of the game. Like, and can you imagine Scotty in today's game, his ability, his versatility to defend all those? He's the archetype for what the league is today.
Absolutely.
Scotty is.
The archetype, no question.
He's the archetype. Not the architect. He's the archetype. He is the guy that this entire thing, like this whole idea of positionless basketball and versatility defensively and switching and ball, like he is everything that this league is now. Absolutely. Is Scottie Pippen.
Absolutely. No question.
You know, people don't, and people give him that, and we know why. We've been through it a million times. People dog Scottie. He brings a lot of it on his own. That soundbite is all you need to play.
Oh, jeez.
So he brings a lot of it on himself.
His own worst enemy.
Yeah, he's his own worst enemy, York. That's a good way to put it. But, man, was he great.
He could be a bag of the week candidate. Bag of the week candidate. He could have been easy. He could have been a bag of the week candidate for a thousand different things.
Yeah, that's a good drop in. I like that.
Thank you. I appreciate
very
it, Johnny.
Nice. Very nice.
How are you feeling? Good.
I'm feeling good.
You look
good.
It's Friday. You look good.
Yeah, well, soda.
I'm telling you. That's what I hear.
Sota. Not soda. Sota.
S-O-T-A. Of the art.
Yes. That's right.
That's what they say. Sota.
S-O-T-A. S-O-T-A.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Take Giovanni that. Sota.
Yes. That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like. That's for sure.
Sammy Sota. Manny Sota.
York, 5 years ago today, the Cubs beat the Dodgers to win the pennant.
Long time ago. Yeah, long time ago.
Not that long.
Feels like a long time ago with the baseball that you've had to watch on the north side here lately.
That's so true.
Yeah. I couldn't pick that team out of a police lineup. They put them up. I wouldn't know who they were. Yeah, Schwindel.
Ooh. You know Schwindy.
Oh, Schwindel.
Who is that?
Wisdom?
I wouldn't have known who that was. Is that John Dillinger? I have no idea.
Hey, Cap, let me tell you, this Ortega kid's good. He's 30.
Right. Yeah. A friend of mine called me. He goes, dude, why are you crushing these guys? That Ortega's a good young kid. I go,
young.
He's 30 years old. What?
He's got a prostate the size of a cantaloupe. What do you mean, young?
These guys are young? Older as hard as a
about?
Cue ball. These guys are older than every player you let go.
Young.
Right? Every player you traded away, they were younger than.
Wisdom's like 30.
I think Schwindel finished second in batting average this year.
I think he did.
Yeah.
He's another one who's
Windell.
Almost in the Schwindy City, baby.
You keep your beak out of it.
Let's pay him $40 million.
And finally, I promise this soundbite. I don't know how we got on to Sam Weish.
Oh, gosh.
What I was saying is that when you have coaches that are like these funny coaches or these, like, that doesn't work. Like Sam Weish, Jerry Glanville.
Dan Campbell.
You want a coach, you want to entertain.
Dan Campbell.
That's all I'm saying.
Will the next person that sees anybody throw anything onto this field? Point them out and get them out of here. You don't live in Cleveland. You live in Chicago.
the greatest soundbite.
What, Yurko, what did you... You had a story you used to always tell about Weish, like something about swapping out O-linemen?
O-lines. He kept 10 offensive linemen healthy, and we're down in Tampa Bay, and he'd substitute the first offensive line and put a fresh second offensive line in, like 9 plays into a series.
I remember Yurko saying that.
Yeah. Well, he tried it one time just to see if
it
would work.
And it was against you guys,
Yes, it was against us.
Did it work?
No. Well, the problem was none of those big guys could play special teams. So his other guys, the defensive backs that were, you know, starting and having to play, were exhausted.
Man.
The running backs, you know, linebackers that they kept active.
Because they're playing special teams?
Yeah, because you kept 3 extra offensive linemen active.
Oh, my God.
So that means you took 3 special teams players away.
So it backfired on them.
It backfired a little bit.
I remember telling that story.
Swapping out
the whole offensive line.
The whole line change.
Yeah. That's bad.
Let's go.
Mike Sullivan from St. Francis DeSales.
Yeah.
Remember Mikey Sullivan?
Oh, yeah.
No, he's garter tackle.
Said DeSales.
Tim Ryan from Notre Dame was there.
Yep.
A couple big. Harry Galbraith was there. Paul Gruber was there. Scott Dill was there.
Paul Gruber was amazing.
But they kept 10 active. It made no sense whatsoever. Just so he could. He wanted to try it, though.
Just try it.
He wanted to see it. And it made sense only in Tampa when it was steaming hot.
Yeah. I'll give him credit. He tried it.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Scratch my head. Okay. I don't get it. But okay.
I remember Yurko telling that story.
You going to watch the Bull tonight?
The big
little Bull of the Pelican?
I'm going to watch the Bull. I'm going to watch the Bull tonight. We're actually going out tonight for dinner with a couple people. But
Where are we going tonight, Kate?
We're going to, I don't know.
Out by you?
Yeah, out by you.
All right.
Then. I think Vistro Prime, I think we're going.
Oh,
good place.
They got a TV on in there?
They have one at the bar. They do have a TV. So hopefully we'll get the Bull on tonight.
You should try the Ganachi.
The gnocchi.
Oh, I hear it's fantastic.
Dude. I don't know.
The ganache.
I like to have a nosh.
Ganache.
Yeah.
I just like the nosh.
Is that like a little potato dumpling?
It'd be better if Zion was playing, you know.
Yeah, they're going to get
Let's not worry about that. Let's let the Bulls just rack up their victories.
3-0. I think the Bulls will start 3-0.
Yeah. You got to cover the 7.
We're excited about that, John.
Who's excited?
We are excited about the 7 tonight.
Lay the 7? All right, go with Hoodie then.
Lay the wood.
Lay the 7. No Zion. Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Boy, they got routed. The Pels got routed the other
day. Yes, they did.
It's nothing there.
Man.
Yeah, what happened there?
They got beat.
Yeah, what happened?
They got beat.
Any analysis? Give me an analysis. Give me 20 seconds on that.
Boy, I tell you, the guys are going up and down the court.
Yeah.
Yeah, slapping the backboard.
Slapping the backboard,
Playing some defense, playing some offense.
Yeah. No
he's
more
on
Stan
TV. Stan Van's on TV.
I watched him last night.
He's on TV.
It's great basketball. Some great basketball
games,
like good individual effort.
Good individual effort done. See, this is why he was the number one analyst on TNN.
That's it, right?
But because of drop-ins like that.
I was doing the war on I-4.
Him and Eli Gold.
And Jill Arrington on the sidelines.
Jill Arrington
She came to a meeting one time in a sweat top.
Uh-huh.
And it must have been cold in that room, because let me tell you.
Right.
Wow. Hello. That's all I'm saying. Hey, my eyes didn't
deceive you.
Yeah, they didn't deceive me that day.
So Norm was my analyst.
Facts are facts. That I can do.
Norm Van Leer and I would do like 15, 20 college games a season. I would have to go out, I'll never forget, he's parked in a loading dock at Northern Illinois.
With his bug.
Sleeping in his pickup truck.
Oh, God, he had a truck at that
with
point.
With a box of Milk Duds on his belly. I go out, it's 6:45, the game's at 7. I'm like, Norm, we got to go, man. We got the open in like 9 minutes. All right, who's playing? Ohio U at Northern. Who are we featuring? Carmen DeFalco for Northern, Jonathan Hood for Ohio.
Yeah.
What do I say?
Oh,
that guy struggles to go left. If they can force him left, they have a real chance to slow that. Gary Trent was the player. And he...
Gary Trent Darby.
Here's Norm on Gary Trent. I've looked at a lot of tape. He struggles to go to the left.
Yeah.
Everything
sometimes you got to go with that, man.
48 minutes, baby.
Well,
go with a straight
40
minutes.
Attitude.
48 minutes and attitude.
Sign your name across my heart.
I love
him. I want you to be my baby.
Miss
Trent Darby.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
All right, kick us out. Right. Time to go.
See you, boys. Have a good weekend.
We have a meeting to go to.
Yes.
Time to go.
Let us know what happens. Hopefully we're still on the air at 11. I don't know. 11:01.
Meetings at 11:01. Get them off.
Let us know.
Randy with that quizzical look.
They're not closing it down.
Randy knows what's going
on. Listen, they offered lunch afterwards. I said they wouldn't fire us all and have lunch afterwards, would they?
What's going on, Randy? You know?
Can't be all bad. He's telling you to break.
Now he cares about clock discipline.
They might Katie bar the door when we're out of here at 11. I'm like, oh, guys, that's enough. Go on. Time for you to go now.
ESPN, my not, here we come. Syndication all day.
You can't.
Here we go.
It's got to be good news if you're going to have a catered lunch afterwards, right?
Yeah. Have a great weekend.
All right, see you.
All right, honey, I'll see you Monday.
I'll see you Monday.
All right, take that. See you.
Get Carmen and Yurko pods on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Away we go. Football Friday, good kid. It's Carmen and Yurko. And you could have a special treat later today if you come out to the Twin Peaks in Warrenville, because as soon as we're off the air at noon, we're heading down I-88, westbound and down, as we like to say, Yurko. Twin Peaks Warrenville for a little more Football Friday fun, where we're going to eat, maybe have a cocktail, get ready for the weekend, and do a special Football Friday podcast for the ESPN Chicago app. And Yurko's going to diagram the Wham play, because Yurko thinks they could find some success in Tampa running the Wham this weekend.
And some Whams, some traps.
Wham!
Some angle blocking, Carm. Blocking back. I also like the cut block utilized here. Get him to the ground. And then you got to have a quick popping play, and you've got to get people to the linebackers. I like it, though. I like it. That's against this group. There's always a way. You can find a way. You always have to find a way. I'd widen those splits just a smidge to force some natural gaps in that defense. And that's got, they got to stay the same for the pass now. So that kind of makes you a little susceptible for the pass. But
because you'll tip your hand otherwise, right?
Right. If you tighten things up during the pass and you wide them up for the run, you do tip it just a little bit. It's one of the telltale signs that something sneaky is going on.
Mm.
All of a sudden, the guard comes out and goes, geez, what the hell's going on here?
Right. Yeah.
I know why. They're trying to create natural space in there.
Mm.
So, yeah, we've got some theories. We got some thoughts. We're going to have to pick up a grease board on the way out. The easel they have, but the paper has disappeared.
There's a Target right across the street from the Twin Peaks.
That's right. We're going to have to go get ourselves a grease board with some of those markers.
They probably have those big pads of paper, right?
I operate better with a grease board. That way you can just erase it and go back to it.
We'll get you a grease board.
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll find it. We'll find a way.
I'll take care of you.
A grease board. I think that would be perfect for us. And we'll design some stuff. Shad the Wham always comes for the four-man side. You could create the four-man side where it doesn't look like it. All of a sudden you motion into it from different directions. And then there you have it. You've got Wham possibilities.
Mm.
But you want momentum going in for the guy that's got to set the block on the guy he's going to get, because usually it's a tight end going after a defensive lineman, and those defensive linemen are big. And you can't go low on that Wham block. You got to stay high.
I have an uneasy feeling about Sunday. As the week's gone on, it's become more and more of an uneasy feeling. We're going to talk to Dan Wiederer at 11. I heard him with Waddle and Silva yesterday. He thinks this could be a real big tipping point, actually, for the career of Matt Nagy, the future of Matt Nagy. The Bears very unlikely to ever fire a coach midseason. As far as we understand, they've never done that at any point in their long history. So I'm not suggesting that, and I don't think Dan was suggesting that, but he referenced those 50 burgers in back-to-back weeks. That was like mid-season of the Trestman campaign, and you knew right then and there while the Bears weren't going to fire a coach midseason that Trestman was as good as gone. That was the famous, remember, my mother's pissed. She's pissed off.
Yes.
You know, George declaring after we just got our asses kicked by Green Bay once again and she's pissed. You think? You should be pissed too. The whole organization be pissed that you've won 15 games against them in 30 friggin' years. But you should be pissed.
You've got to be of the belief if this is a similar situation that 24-14 was a massacre. You've got to be of the belief that that's what that was.
I don't either.
I wish they'd be a little bit closer. They only had 8 possession. They scored on 2 of them. And as Matt Nagy liked to say the other day, he goes, well, you know, the 2 times we got into the red zone, we scored. The problem is you're only down there 2 times.
Right.
Because we need more possessions. Both sides had 8 possessions. One scored 24. The other side scored 14.
Yeah.
Okay. You can't complain. When you decide to slow it down and you decide to take time off the clock, you can't cry about not having more possessions then.
I know. I think Tom Brady is out to prove something to the Bears, too, and to the world for how embarrassing it was last year on a primetime game on Thursday night. For whatever reason, you know, not that they don't win games in primetime, but he hasn't covered games in primetime. Oftentimes, he's a very big favorite, so that's got something to do with it. I think he's now failed to cover 11 consecutive primetime games, lost outright as a favorite to the Bears.
Well, and people also get up for him. They get up for him.
They do.
That's why, whether you like it or not, they're getting up for the big man.
You can't get over, and it's been everywhere, and people talked about it in the immediate aftermath, and they busted his balls over the course of the offseason. He forgot the downs is we talked about this on Crosstalk Unhinged yesterday, which was a real doozy, by the way. Make sure you get to the ESPN Chicago app, the Carmen and Yurko page, or the Waddle and Sylvie page, and download the latest Crosstalk Unhinged. But I don't know if it was you or Waddle. I think it was you, Yurko, who was making the point that, you know, Michael holds a grudge against everybody for a reason. Like, the greatest normally do. And, you know, to think, well, why would Brady care about losing the Downs and losing a meaningless game last October to a bad Bears team when they were the Super Bowl champs, and he's counting his seven rings and his $1 billion, and he goes home to his hot supermodel wife. Like, why would Tom Brady? Oh, he cares. Oh, Tom Brady cares.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's what makes him Tom Brady. Like, I think he wants to go out and get four touchdowns on the head. I think he wants to hold up the four fingers and then maybe a middle finger right next to it and say, you laughed, but I'm going to get the last laugh. Bears are 1-5 all time against Tom Brady. They finally beat him last year. 1-5 all time. And I don't know. I just think this is such a different Bucs team. They were battered last year. They were still figuring things out. That offense wasn't clicking. They had a ton of injuries. They had to travel on a short week. This just seems to be so different, where they're humming right now and they're comfortable with one another and they're more healthy, and he's got total command of that offense, and he and Arians know exactly what they want out of each other. And it just doesn't set up to be a very pretty matchup for the Bears.
No, it doesn't look good. Yeah. I, you know, I'm paying for it. It doesn't look good. I've won games where I was a 14-point dog.
I know.
I've won playoff games that we had no business winning, Carm. We've gone places before with the Buffalo and beat Buffalo. Jim Kelly's last game, Kent Hall last game, played against the Jacksonville Jaguars as a double-digit favorite. And I've done it. I've gone out there. I've seen it. I've been a part of it. There's a way. You know, obviously, but you got to have a group that's focused on what needs to happen for that specific day. You got to play perfect football. Tampa doesn't have to play perfect football against the Bears. Mm-mm. Tampa can play a sloppy game because they're better than the Bears are. But that doesn't mean on one given Sunday that these guys can't put it together and find a way to get it done. But they're going to have to play highly efficient football. They're going to have to play smart football. And they're going to have to capitalize on whatever opportunities they create for themselves.
You better cash in when you're in the red zone. That's for
cash
sure.
In.
You better be cashing with six and not three. If you think you're getting three and beating the Bucs, you're crazy.
How many NFL games do you watch where a guy's got a chance at an interception and the ball ends up on the turf?
Plenty.
How many times do you see the piggy loose on the ground where it's a 50-50 ball? Anybody can get it. And damn it if it's not the other team that ends up with the ball all the time. That can't happen in this one. It's got to be very opportunistic football being played, very efficient football being played. I'll paint a scenario. I don't see the Bears going down to Tampa and winning this game, but I could paint a scenario that and give you some specific offensive thoughts on how to go ahead and attack this defense, especially via the run. In theory, what you do well.
But
you're going to have to do it differently than you've done and what you've shown.
Because the problem is
they have to be different.
They're very good at stopping the run. So that's why Yurko keeps saying you got to do it a little different.
You know what I saw last night?
If you put your collective offensive heads together, maybe you can figure it out. And speaking of last night, that game was a snore fest, to be honest.
Yeah.
But down two starting running backs, down, two? Did Wills play? Did Jedrick Wills end up playing? I'm trying to remember now. He did not, did he? I mean, you had, you know, injuries.
Odell Beckham played.
Oh, well, Jarvis Landry was in there. But with the Jedrick Wills play, was he inactive? I don't even know now. But they still, with the Ernest Johnson, ran the ball well. You know, and we're able to salt that game away by running the ball.
Which is why our theory is correct. Which why our theory is 100% correct. Can't really be argued. People want to argue it. There are those special backs that are out there. You'd put Derrick Henry in. Okay, he might be
he's
a special
the one guy,
back
yeah.
with the way he runs.
He's the one guy in the NFL now, right?
And others in the past. You average 5 yards a carry. Yeah, that means you're doing a little bit more. You know, like once you get free, the offensive line is responsible for you getting for the first five. After that, a running back now, his skill set gets him the next 50.
He's the one guy.
You know what I'm saying?
Conklin was the one who was inactive last night. Jedrick Wills did play. Conklin was injured last they knew Conklin was going to be out in that game.
I'm excited. It's an NFL Friday.
Yeah, anybody can. You got to run it. And, you know, just, I don't know, are they going to give up early or can they put their offensive minds together? Can they put their heads together and figure out a way where they can still sort of be successful?
And the defense just has to play like the defense plays. You know,
problem is Akeem Hicks is hurting and Robert Quinn's on the COVID list.
And we know for certain they're not playing, or they need two negative tests within 24 hours.
Two negative tests.
Without 24 hours.
Yeah. We'll talk to Weider about that in 30. We'll talk to Todd Furman in 1 hour. Yurko's got the bare necessities. Mike North has the bonus play, which hit last week again at 11:48. Lots to do. It's a football Friday. It's Carmen and Yurko, and we'll be right back.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Carmen and Yurko with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Remember, the Bears are in the late afternoon window for Week 7, Yurko. It's at 3:25 local time kick, 4:25 East Coast time. So Meller and Dion Miller, Jeff and Dion, will be doing the Bears pregame live this Sunday from 1 to 3. And they will be at the PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. Closest book to downtown, Southwest Side, 3501 South Laramie.
I was there last
Cicero.
Sunday. I was there last Sunday.
You went to Crestwood,
yeah.
I thought.
You were in Crestwood.
Crestwood, yeah.
Where are they going? They're going to the track.
They're going to the racetrack.
Yes.
I've got
the points
at
Sportsbook at the track.
Wonderful. Well, I'm glad I clarified that for everybody out there.
Go see Meller and Dion.
In Stickney.
In Stickney or Cicero, yeah. That's correct. This coming Sunday from 1 to 3.
Carmen, if I may, real quickly here.
Yes,
I don't want to get us off football, but before we end today,
all right.
If I just can have 1 minute, okay, I just need 1 minute.
Don't say golf.
No, okay. Even more obscure.
Oh, geez.
Okay, I was looking at today's birthdays, and it's Frank DePino's birthday today, the former Cub reliever.
Frank DePino's birthday.
I've got a great Frank DePino story I'd like to tell at some point.
Wow,
okay?
I didn't think in a million years that – possibly there's a great Frank DePino story?
Yes, yeah. There's a great Frank DePino story.
All right.
Okay, before we finish up, I don't want to, you know.
Well, I've heard a lot of Merkin stories, and they are good, but yeah. This one is interesting, to say the least. Okay.
Might this one be reserved for Twitter,
try
maybe?
Try to remind
Frank
me.
Frank DePino?
Yeah, why is it not a fireside chat?
It's not really, it wasn't a guest booking story.
It's not
okay.
Worthy
yeah.
for a fireside chat. He'd like to go ahead and throw it on our show. Oh, wonderful. Well, Randy, you are part of the show, so that's why I said our. Frank DePino, put that down as a tease for later on today.
Yeah.
Before we leave, Frank DePino. Oh, sweet heavens. My heavens.
312-332-3776. That's the phone number if you want to join in. How can the Bears go to Tampa and win? And you might hear that and go, you can't. There's not a lot of optimism. I was talking to our buddy Fat Mike yesterday.
Yeah, there's not a lot of optimism.
Like, most Bears fans are like, oh, boy, they're going to get their clocks cleaned.
Yes, they are.
Cleaned. This Sunday.
But I've got a route.
Everybody's like, oh, you're going to the game. That should be fun. But they're going to get destroyed.
I've charted a path, Carm, for victory. Okay? And the path that I've charted for victory has more viability and potential than Hillary's path to victory in 2016.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And you know what happened back then, right?
I do.
Okay?
She won the popular vote.
Yeah. But would she lose?
The silly Electoral College.
Oh, the silly Electoral College.
Yes.
It's in the Constitution.
Which your guy even tweeted about once and how bad it is.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that.
Who's my guy? Franjo Tuchman? I mean, who the hell's my guy? You're just assigning me guys?
Tuchman.
The great Franjo Tuchman? Is that who it is? Is it Stipe Mesic? My heavens. Yes. Either way, I have it for you.
All right.
All right? I have it for you, and I'm excited about
it. Yurko's probably the most confident I've heard, actually.
Well, I mean, just as the path, as a theory, as a strategy to go ahead and defeat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, especially if you want to defeat that offensive line and discourage what they're doing defensively.
Here was Cameron Brate. Cameron Brate's a local kid. He's from Naperville. Played at Naperville Central.
I got you.
I'm trying to remember where. Oh, Cameron Brate went to Harvard, if I'm not mistaken, right? Smart kid. One of those smart. Let's go mess up some smart kids. He's one of those smart kids who played at Harvard. He was on Waddle and Sylvie.
Let's hear it.
And they were joking with, the whole fourth down fiasco last year. And will revenge be on Brady's mind? This was Cameron Brate from a couple days ago.
I think Tom had a bunch of circles around the New England game. So if he had any circles left over, I think he might have put one on this one as well. But, yeah, I mean, it's been talked about this week. That was kind of one of the low points of last year. Definitely let that one get away from us. And, yeah, hopefully get a little revenge on Sunday.
Yeah, a little revenge. Yeah, Brady knows. He's coming.
You can go ahead and do that. Year to year is tough. When you play a team twice in the same year, or you play a team, then you're going to see them in the playoffs. There's a little bit more, okay, we remember it because we felt it. The Bears were your motivating factor to propel things going forward, and that's why you ended up winning the Super Bowl.
Well, that's an interesting point.
Okay, so you end up winning the Super Bowl. When you won the Super Bowl, that made you satiated for the season.
Interesting.
And for what you did. To go back and try to find motivation from last year's Bears game, it's too long.
Hmm.
It's too long. Okay?
That's it.
Too long.
That's an interesting theory.
First. Yeah.
Like,
it's a good theory.
He already used it all
last
year.
You've already used it up.
They ripped off eight straight wins.
Eight straight. You won a Super Bowl.
I'll show you four.
Yeah, you just showed it. Boom, I showed it. You go back and try to find and utilize that as motivation. I call that false motivation. That won't be real motivation for him because they won the Super Bowl. It's false motivation. But it's incumbent upon me to try to find out, will this Bears team be motivated going down there? Will this Bears team be fully fledged, fully equipped?
Fully fledged.
Remember that? Fully fledged. Fully equipped. I never knew it meant equipped, but it is.
Full fledged.
Will they be equipped with all their talent that they have available? And let me tell you, if Quinn doesn't play, I never thought I'd say this after watching him play last year.
Oh my God.
But if Quinn is not available, that is a big loss for the Chicago Bears.
It is. It's like
now you're concentrating on one guy, and you can put all your efforts there at that one guy, and you may not be as good defensively as you have been during the year.
It's a big loss.
And truly, your only bright spot this year right now has been your defense.
Yes.
Your defense has put you in a position to win some games.
And I will say, actually, their ability to run the ball. Like Montgomery, Herbert, sure. Right? Like they've run the ball.
The surprising ability to commit to the ball.
That's it.
To commit to running the ball, and they have been able to run the ball.
So. Yerk's right. I mean, look, the Bears lead the league in sacks. They're tied with Minnesota with 21. More impressive than just the counting statistic are the adjusted rate metrics. They're number one in adjusted sack rate, too.
Yes, yes.
Like, that is impressive. They're right. The only team in the NFL over 10%. And if you can do it without blitzing, which they haven't done a ton of, like, you're going to win, and your defense is going to win a lot. And that has been a big key. And I think you are dead on, balls accurate. No Robert Quinn. We never would have said this at the start of the year a year ago. Is like a gigantic loss if he can't play.
It's humongous.
What do they have, 12 sacks between the two of them already?
And 5.5, Carm. It's 11.5 sacks.
11.5 sacks between the two
six
of them?
Yeah, 6 for 52 and 5.5 for number 94.
So, and blitzing Brady's always a risky thing anyway, and, you know, like, you normally blitzing the great quarterback.
You want to come after him with four. I mean, he's not the most nimble of characters back there. You know, he can escape if he has to. He can climb the pocket if he needs to. But he doesn't want to put himself in jeopardy as he moves forward.
Why are the good quarterbacks so good at beating the blitz here? Because it's just because they're talented, but they see it. They just know where to go.
Instinctively, over the course of time, they've figured out when the blitz is coming is where you got to go.
Have you seen so we're six games in. Have you seen the metrics? Mike North and I talked about this on the Odds Couple. The podcast is going up soon on the ESPN Chicago app for the week. Like, teams have basically said when they play the Chiefs, we're not even going to think about it anymore. Like, look at the metrics of how infrequently they're blitzing Mahomes. Like, it's not, it's just, they're like, we're done.
Drop eight back.
We're done. Exactly. We are done. We are done getting eviscerated by this guy. Same with Aaron Rodgers over the years. Teams are basically like, we can't. You cannot blitz them.
I do the Paterno against them. Rush two.
Oh, that's interesting.
Rush two guys. And they have two guys, like, as shallow guys to break up on them.
Yeah.
You know, break up on the quarterback if he decides he wants to run the ball.
Like spies?
Because Mahomes, two spies just sit there. But playing in a zone defense, 200 guys, playing a little bit of a zone, he can help you on, you know, the running back coming across or stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they can run a quarterback draw out of it, but you frustrate the living hell out of it.
Right.
But it's
forcing him to kind of like nickel and dime, right?
Right. Well, nickel and dime, you're forcing him to try to make throws that the windows aren't there.
Okay.
And so you're hoping to force turnovers there.
All right.
I mean, that's what you're hoping to do. That's how they beat. That's how Paterno beat Vinny Testaverde in the Miami Hurricanes.
Really?
Rush two.
No kidding.
Drop nine.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
look at
back
that little
in the
piece
day.
Of college long, football history
long,
for you.
Long time ago.
I like it, Yerk.
They had to find a way to get at him. Remember, they were fighting down there. Jerome Brown. They came to the. They came to one of the mutual team functions in fatigues. The Miami Hurricanes did. They came in fatigues and camo
did
and stuff,
really?
Trying to intimidate him. Shane Conlon was laughing.
Shane Conlon.
Because Shane Conlon was on Penn State at the time. But no, you got to go with something crazy like that. You know.
Yeah.
You've got to go with something that's longest yard. Mean Machine with Burt Reynolds, right?
Yeah.
Mean Machine. They went out there with some knowledge, with some this, some that. They didn't expect them to be good. They expect them to play with the prisoners. They weren't that going to. But you come out there with a little bit of a philosophy and an angle.
Right.
Next thing you know, the more you stay in it, the more confidence you build. And it's going to be early for the Bears to stay in this thing. If they're in at half, I'm feeling good.
Remember.
I'm feeling good if they're in at half.
The Chargers did that to Lamar Jackson and the Ravens in the playoffs a couple years ago. Remember, they played six defensive backs the entire game.
Yeah.
Six defensive backs the whole game. And it
we beat San Francisco in San Francisco one year, Carm. 95, I believe. We beat Frisco in Frisco with the big nickel.
Yeah, big
we
nickel.
We went three big guys. We went three linebackers and five defensive backs to start the game.
Yep.
Right? Big nickel. We've never played an odd man front in the history of our lives in Green Bay. And Fritzy Sherman come up with the big nickel out of nowhere.
And it worked.
Out of nowhere. And we're coming in. We caused a defensive touchdown to start the game. Adam Walker fumbled in the flat. Hmm. Picked it up. We returned it for a touchdown, up 7-0. Next thing you know, we're up 21-0 in that game.
Off and running.
And Steve Young is scratching his head, and Jerry Rice is trying to figure out what the hell's going on.
It's a good tactical move. I like coaching helps.
Just kind of popped
matters.
Them. And then they couldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
Eventually they did, and they started having a little bit of success. Hmm. But it took them
too
time.
Late.
Yeah.
It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back. This hour is brought to you by Twin Peaks, the ultimate sports lodge. Happy Hour's back. Get the Twin Peaks Monday through Friday, 2 to 7. Score sweet deals like a buck off all wine, liquor, cheap shots, and ice-cold 29-degree draft brews. And remember, Yurko and I are going to Twin Peaks in Warrenville today, 1 to 3. Yurko's going to X and O's for you. We're going to have fun. We're going to do a chalk talk, and we're going to tape a special Football Friday podcast for the ESPN Chicago app. So hang with us at Twin Peaks today in Warrenville from 1 to 3.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is the home of Carmen and Yurko.
Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN _ Chicago.
Dan Wiederer from the Tribune is going to join us just after 11, about 8 minutes from now. He wrote a great article about Brady choosing Tampa last year. Were the Bears the mystery team that Tom Brady was talking about in the offseason when he said one team decided to stay with their guy? And I said, that bleeping guy? There's no way that was the Bears. There's nothing to indicate that. There's nothing connecting those dots. Nothing. I mean, the Bears went out and got Nick Foles, for crying out loud. Like, they weren't saying to guys, Tom Brady, we're going to stick with Mitch Trubisky.
He knew what he needed to do, but he also needed to make it look like there were more than one team that was looking at him. He knew where the talent was. Nobody's a fool. When you look around the NFL last year, 2 years ago, and you said, man, where's all the offensive talent? Who's got a ton? Who only needs a quarterback? Right?
Right.
Who only needs a quarterback won't turn the ball over?
Not the Bears.
Yeah, the Bears weren't there. They didn't have the offensive firepower.
So the team he was talking about this past offseason was not the Bears. I'm convinced of that. It could have been the Niners. It could have been the Titans. You know, like they just given Tannehill an extension, and he's got the Vrabel connection.
The Vrabel connection, yes.
And you've got, you know, this was before Julio, obviously, but you got A.J. Brown down there, and you got Derrick Henry. Like, I could see Brady, like, having a very brief discussion with the Titans, and they're like, look, we just signed Tannehill, and then Brady's like, you're sticking with that effing guy over me? Like, I could see that. It's just not the Bears. But people seem to be convinced that it is for some reason. You hear that in a lot of circles. It's weird. I don't think it is the Bears. But anyway, Wiederer wrote a good story. Lots to talk about Bears and Bucks. He'll join us just after 11. Mike North's got the bonus play in an hour. And Todd Furman live in Vegas is always can't miss. Every Friday with us at 11:33. Matt's in Streamwood. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Carmen, Yurko, thank you for having me on.
Sure.
When I'm calling in response to Yurko, when you said that you want the defense to play inspired, even in this past weekend when they played the Packers, not only did one but two Green Bay Packers somersault to the end zone, and not one person from the defense took any pride in saying that crap is going to be shut down. You're not doing that stuff again. Then Aaron Rodgers goes into the end zone and tells us that he owns Soldier Field. And not one person in the defense responded. So we have Eddie Jackson going after Lance Briggs because he called him out, as well as Jalen Johnson saying, oh, let me go after Matt Nagy because he fined me for 1 minute late. So I'm just worried about that. This defense does not play inspired whatsoever. Whenever someone comes and takes it to them, they crawl into a shell.
Well, what would you have them do, like, when Aaron Rodgers is saying, I own you, exactly? I mean,
at least someone come up to it and say, that crap is going to stop. Yeah. And said, next time you come and play us, regardless if it's here or at Lambeau, we're coming at you, and that crap is going to stop, especially the somersault stuff. Not only is it, it's just taunting, and I'm just saying, I'm tired of it.
Eddie Jackson had a chance to make a statement when the guy was coming through the line at the goal line, and Eddie Jackson didn't make a statement.
Yeah, on Devontae Adams.
That's where they need to make a statement.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about when the guy was coming, you know, to score a touchdown.
Oh.
And Eddie Jackson basically just got run over. That's where he needs to make a statement.
I'm trying to remember which play.
I'm drawing a line. It's a touchdown pass. The touchdown play. One of their three touchdowns that they scored.
I know. I just can't. I can't.
And he was right in the middle of the field.
Okay.
I mean, middle of the field. Middle of the goal, you know, by the goal line.
So he missed two tackles.
Right. Well, he didn't. He made the tackle, but he let the guy push him into the end zone. He basically got run over.
All right.
Going into the end zone. That was Eddie Jackson on that play. So if you want to make a statement, go in there and sting guy and force him to pay the price if you're going to score the touchdown.
Yeah.
No price to be paid there.
The whole.
Okay. Secondly, the going after Lance Briggs, You remember Olin Kutz and those guys when they were at one of the conventions, Nate McMichael said something. And they hated him. Listen, they're the 85 McMichael. Bears.
Right.
They won a Super Bowl. The 85 Bears own this town still today. Do you know why?
Because they haven't won another one.
Because nobody has won another Super Bowl. Same thing we faced with the 60s Packers up in Green Bay. You guys want to stop them from talking about us? Win yourself a Super Bowl. They won themselves a Super Bowl. You know what they quit talking about?
The 60s.
The 60s. They quit talking about the 60s.
Yeah. And
so all the new players will always complain about the old players.
Right.
That's the way it goes. It's what they do.
Lance wasn't even overly critical or harsh of Eddie Jackson.
Lance's job now is to go ahead and offer thoughts on this year's Bears and what they're doing.
He said, you got to make a tackle.
And he offered his thoughts. Yeah. You know, Eddie Jackson being a petulant child. And going into the history to see somebody analyze them of that. Well, what are you doing? He went to the Pro Bowls. What are you doing? You were wrong. Look at the play.
Yeah.
You got run over. There's no gray area. Okay? Don't go crying about it. Play better, son. Play better.
I love it. Yeah, it is. It's like a lot of time and energy to go digging through old Lance Briggs stories and box scores.
But that will always happen. And 20 years from now, they'll be complaining about Eddie Jackson saying something about something on the Bears.
Eddie will go into the media, and he'll say something about a Bear that's just being born right now in 20 years. Yeah. And that player will do whatever social media looks like in 20 years, and he'll take a shot at Eddie, and we'll have the same discussion. Say, how dare you? Eddie went to a Pro Bowl, and we'll start defending Eddie Jackson's honor, even though we're down on him now. And the cycle continues.
Forever.
Forever and ever.
Into perpetuity.
Into perpetuity, Eric. Coming up next, we'll talk to Dan Wiederer. Don't go anywhere. We're talking Bears and Bucks with one of the best NFL writers from the Chicago Tribune. We'll do that when we return in 2 minutes.